Good morning, church. Good morning. If this is your first time here, which it looks like everybody's kind of home folks, or maybe some of you have a permanent indentation on some of these chairs because you have your particular place you like to sit, just want to say we're glad to see you here today because, really, I mean, we really are. You could have spent today, the morning, just about anywhere, sipping coffee or sleeping in or maybe chasing that dog that got out again. I don't know. But instead, you chose to come here as a place of worship, and that church means something. You see, this is more than just a building. It's not the lights or even our fantastic praise and worship team. I don't know if you noticed Spencer was hobbling around today. He tried to go hunting deer with his motorcycle, but I think the deer won, but I'm not for sure. But bless his heart, he's recovering and he's doing it quite well. But our fantastic praise team is just an amazing group. I mean, we are a people who gather, who believe that hope still matters and grace is real. And that love, that unconditional love, world-changing love, I believe is worth showing up for. Amen, church? Amen. You don't have to pretend to be perfect here. You don't have to pretend you know all the answers. You just have to be willing to listen, laugh a little, and leave with a little more peace, perhaps, than you came in with. So I welcome you this morning, Prayer of Faith family. You are in the right place this morning. This past Sunday, Pastor Adam gave one of those messages that makes you sit up a little straighter and maybe even call your mom afterward. He talked about mothers, their love, their grit, their uncanny ability to see straight through our mess and still love us anyway. And he drew a line, a clear one, between the kind of love that God gives us every single day, steadfast, unshakable, and completely unconditional. And he didn't sugarcoat it either. Sometimes relationships with moms, we understand, can be complicated, messy, strained. But Pastor Adam reminded us that even in the middle of that mess, we have a choice. We can stay stuck in our old patterns, or we can rise above them. We can choose to take the higher road, the one paved with grace, the one where God walks with us side by side. And then he brought us to Psalms 139, verse 13 through 16. You know the one where it says, knit together in your mother's womb. That's not just poetic. It's precise of what God does. It tells us something huge, that God in all of his wisdom chose moms, imperfect, ordinary women, to carry out one of the most sacred jobs on the planet, to protect, to nurture, to grow life, and he's been doing it that way since the beginning of time. And he also reminded us that we're not here by accident. We're not random, but as the scripture says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, custom built by the Creator himself. And then that truth, Pastor Adam showed us how moms have often been the North Star, a guiding point, not only in just pointing the way, but walking it with us, guiding us and cheering us on, whispering those prayers behind closed doors and packing those lunch notes in your lunch that you take saying, you've got this. Don't forget to smile today. Which brings us to this morning, which is a sacred collision of two powerful callings of motherhood. The journey, and as long as well as the journey of a child growing into purpose. Motherhood and a child growing into purpose. And this morning, we're gathered in God's house with full hearts and grateful mothers. Women who reflected the very heartbeat of God through those late nights, those early mornings, those scraped knees, Aiden, those broken curfews, all of those things mothers did in every hug, in every lecture, in every silent prayer. They planted something in us, those mothers, something divine. But here's the shift this morning. Today, our eyes turn toward their children. Not the ones running through the aisles anymore, or as Kathy Day said, in the nursery, playing with them or helping other kids, but the ones standing in front of us today that you saw walk down the aisle with caps and gowns. The ones who used to race down the Sunday school hallway there. The ones who we prayed over with trembling voices and tear-filled eyes. And today, they're standing on the edge of something big, real big, the rest of their lives. Graduation, it's not just a ceremony. It's a hinge in the door frame of life. It's a marker, a God-ordained moment where one chapter ends and another one begins. And the pages ahead, they're still blank. Still waiting, still full of that wild and holy potential that lies before us. So this morning, I have something to say to our graduates and also to you as a church family and those who helped raise them through their years. Because this isn't just about proud parents snapping pictures of them with their gowns on. It's about the entire body of Christ. Because you didn't get here by accident. And you sure didn't get here alone. You were carried. You were carried by prayers. Encouraged by mentors. Challenged by truth. And loved fiercely by a community of your church family who loves you so much that believed in what God was doing for you. Now you're standing at the edge of a brand new season, a season full of mystery, of opportunity, and yes, some uncertainty there. But here's what you need to know. Through every valley, God is with us. The same God who saw you in the womb is with us. Everywhere, over every mountaintop, even the valleys, He's not done with you. He's still at it. He's still writing your chapters, your pages. He's still leading, still calling you through those endless seasons in your life. So listen close, not just to the applause you get for graduation and the accolades, or not just the congratulations, but listen to the whisper of God, the whisper of heaven that says, "This is just the beginning." Graduate, this one's for you. But truth be told, it's really for all of us. Because watching every step into your calling, it reminds every single one of us here in this room that God is not finished with any of us yet. Amen? His faithfulness isn't just stuck in the past. It's here. It's now. And it's moving forward one generation at a time through endless seasons. Now, before we jump headfirst into the deep end, let's rewind a bit and go old school for a minute. I'm talking to the flannel graph and the hard church pews and that one Sunday school teacher who always smelled of peppermints and coffee. But to say it with me, Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. One more time, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Yeah, that's not a polite suggestion. That's a command. If you're sucking air, then congratulations, you're on the hook. to praise God. It doesn't matter if you're tone deaf, if you're off key, or perhaps only sing in the shower. If you've got breath in those lungs, you've got a job to do, and that is to praise the Lord. Period. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to worship in the Word. Father, we thank you for those here this morning, for Aiden and Ainsley. Thank you for the sweat, the work, the late nights, the early mornings, and all of those hours in between that brought them to this time. Thank you for their grit. Thank you for their grace and for their willingness to show up even when it was hard. And thank you for the plans you have for them ahead, even when we may not know what they look like yet. We ask that you would give them courage. We ask that you would give them wisdom and give them a whole lot of humor, because they're going to need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, here we are. Caps on the ground, tassels have already been flipped last week, and mom and dad's trying to hold hold back those tears, or at least they're pretending to. It's tough. And Aiden, I saw that smirk over there. You're not fooling everyone. Both of you guys have been attending Prayer of Faith since they were 8 months old. Can you imagine that? 8 months old. And our church has grown to love you and to cherish you, and you are the light of your parents' eyes, and your light shines as well with our church family just as much. You've had some wonderful moments growing up with our church family. You remember the Sky Ranch camps. I still remember back then going as a sponsor. One night we had a food fight for an activity, and poor little Ainsley did not like that a bit. She rushed through the water hose and said, "Wash this off of me, Mom." She did not like the food all over her. And I remember poor Aiden in the dorm room. They were goofing around, and I had to simmer him down quite a bit. And Aiden's like, "Pastor Eric, you're not going to tell Dad, are you?" I said, "No, Aiden. No, we're at camp here. We're having fun." And boy, just a sigh of relief on his face, because, you know, they run a tight camp over there. And then, of course, Josh mentioned Falls Creek and the fun that they had down there, the exploration and the things that opened up in their lives to them. It has affected your time growing up in this church. But this moment right here, it's not just a photo opportunity. And they've got plenty of it over there. You can visit their table after the service and see all the things that they did growing up. It's just an amazing thing. Nikki mentioned those earlier in the graduation appreciation moment, but this is where everything starts to shift. It's kind of like when the hero in a movie realizes that the map he's following isn't just a doodle. It's a blueprint. It's a blueprint. A blueprint for something way bigger. Speaking of doodles, I remember in church when I was graduating, when I got bored during the preaching message, I would doodle on the hymn books. And years later, and little did I know that, you know, led to my art career, but I remember going back after graduating and I said, "Pastor, I'm sorry, I'll donate some money to buy some new hymn books." I didn't quite realize what I was doing then. And so there's times when those doodles that you do to keep you occupied in church or to keep you from getting bored actually becomes a blueprint, because God works through you and ministers to you when you are in the presence of God's people. Amen? Now, I'm sure you as well, but I've seen plenty of blueprints, plumbing layouts, tractor engines, even one for a septic tank that exploded once, but that's a story for another day. But my point is, blueprints, they really don't look impressive when you see them. I mean, they're messy. They're confusing to read, all of those lines. But when they come together, it's like magic. And the same is true for your life that you guys are stepping into this new season. It's not just the kind of the real world kind, but I mean the divine, handcrafted, tailor-made, made-for-you kind of season that God has for you. And like any good story worth telling, this one will be filled with turns, setbacks, and comebacks in your lives, as well as all of our lives. Maybe a few days where you feel like the sky is falling in. And that's okay, because God never promised that it would be easy. But He did promise a purpose. And He never starts a story in our lives that He does not intend on finishing. So my first point to you all, Aiden and Ainsley, as well as the church, is that seasons aren't random. They're designed. Now, here's the big thing about seasons. They don't show up on your schedule. It's kind of rough. They don't ask for permission. And they don't always come with instructions. Now, I know Ainsley's always really structured and organized and formatted, and things go out of whack. It's like, what am I going to do now? And sometimes that's kind of rough, because these seasons, they just pop out of nowhere. You don't know. But even though these seasons don't come on our schedule, they do have a purpose in our lives. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." Everything. Not just the good stuff. Not just the moments where everything's working out and confetti's flying. Everything. Even the weird, painful, confusing parts, they all have a time and a purpose in our lives. You ever look at a caterpillar? Not exactly inspiring. They're kind of gross sometimes, especially if you accidentally step on one or run over one or whatever. But honestly, but if you interrupt that caterpillar halfway through its season, when it's all cocooned up and wrapped tight and looking like it's dead, you'll ruin what it is about to become. Why? Because the beauty is in the process. Let me repeat that. The beauty is in the process. The transformation only happens if you let the season run its course. And the same is with all of us here today. It happens with us. David, in the Bible, was anointed king when he was still a kid, slinging rock at sheep, and before he ever wore a crown, he hid in caves, and he dodged spears, and he talked to himself a lot. Not exactly kingly type of material, right? But with David, God wasn't in a rush with David. He was building, during that time, he was building something in David before he did something and built something amazing through David. So, if you're in a waiting season right now, don't panic. It's okay. Don't panic. You're not stuck, because you're being planted. Because remember, the beauty is in the process of it. Second point I want to bring to you is that God's character doesn't change with the weather. Let me level with you. Life's going to throw you some curveballs. And not the fun kind either, like in baseball. More like those kind of curveballs that hit you in the ribs when you're not looking. And here's the thing. God doesn't flinch. God doesn't flinch. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." That's not just a comforting verse. That's a guarantee. You see, people change. Jobs change. Algorithms, they definitely change. But God, He's as solid as steel. In the Bible, look at Ruth in the Bible, for example. She lost her husband. She was a widower. She left her country. She ended up picking leftovers in a stranger's field just to survive. And still, she stayed faithful. Why? Because she believed in the God of her mother-in-law. Graduates, you want some wisdom? You talk to our widowers. That'll give you that wisdom, what it takes to stand strong. And I know that may sound kind of odd, but it turned out to be one of the best decisions of Ruth's life when she trusted in the God of her mother-in-law. God didn't just feed her. He put her in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Because she didn't have a good past. She was a Moabite. And Moabites in the Bible were detestable. But through the faith of her mother-in-law in God, she ended up in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. That's what God does. In those tough seasons in our lives, He rewrites our legacy. So never let your past define you. Never let the things that happen that you're not proud of define your life, church. God uses you in the moment. So, Aiden, when things don't go quite according to plan, don't assume God left the room and you're wondering what now. Ainsley, when the road gets bumpy ahead, don't just hit the eject button, because some of the best stories of our lives are in those detours in life. Amen, church? Third point I want to bring to you is your identity is found in Christ, not in the world's titles. I know you guys are going to college for some really cool and intensive majors in your life, and it'll bring you success in your life when you graduate. There's a small book in our Bible called Micah. He's a prophet. And in chapter 6, verse 8, and this is one of Dale Bradshaw's favorite verses. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal," we're mortals, you know that, "O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you and I? He has shown you to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Three things. You want to be successful? Those three things are found in this verse. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before our God. You know, we can expound on what each of those things are, but I think you're educated enough to understand what each of those means. Aiden and Ainsley, listen close, because this one's important. God's going to try, or the world's going to try to put you in a box and define you. They're going to try to slap labels on you like those you see on a toolbox. GPA, job title, the size of your paycheck, maybe your follower count on Instagram. I don't know if you guys are on social media or not, but the world will try to size you up by what they see on the outside and try to make that your story on the inside. Amen, church? They do that. The world does that. They want to label you. They want to do that. They want to try to make the story that they see on the inside or outside, inside of you, to define you. But here's the truth. Nobody really tells you that you were never meant to fit their mold. You guys are each individual. You have your own mold. You were made in the image of God, and that's your true identity. Never forget that. Never forget that. You were made in the image of God. No earthly title, no matter how shiny it is, can outshine the fact that you are a child of the Most High God. And church, that's important for us to remember. We are children of the Most High God, no matter what the world, no matter what our family tries to define us as. Take Joseph for a moment. You know the guy, the coat of many colors, the guy that dreamed bigger than his brothers could handle, and life looked like it was beginning to crush him, where he got thrown in a pit and sold as a slave, and then he was sent to prison. From the outside, that looked like a dead end for Joseph. But God had other plans. Joseph didn't get his worth from the title that he received or his freedom. He found that in the God who never gave up on Joseph. And eventually God put him in command over all of Egypt, second in command other than Pharaoh. Not because Pharaoh handed him a title saying, "Hey, you're the big boss now under me," but because of his faithfulness. It was written in his bones. And that's why church is so important, to stay tied to your church family, to get that faith in your bones that God brings us to levels that we don't even have aware of yet. Ainsley, don't let the world wrap your worth in your degree or your job. Your value is sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. A daughter of the King, as well as your mom, who's an actual Indian princess. Didn't know if y'all knew that or not, but Michelle is. Aiden, I know the applause fades a lot of times and titles come and go, but God's call on your life, my buddy, is permanent. And He'll protect you with that too. Anything that comes in conflict of that, He'll bulldoze it out of the way. Unless we run from it. And I think you just have to read the book of Jonah to understand what happens there. But God will bulldoze a way for you, and that's permanent. You're a son of promise, chosen, you're called. You're destined for more than just this world offers. Here's a modern story for you guys. Corrie Ten Boom. Have y'all ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Okay. Well, she's not just a celebrity or a CEO. She was just a watchmaker's daughter in the Netherlands way back when, during World War II. She and her family hid Jews from the Nazis when they were infiltrating, and she got arrested, and she happened to get sent to a concentration camp. No wealth, no fame, no title, but her identity in Christ allowed her the ability to forgive what happened to her in those concentration camps, to tell the world how God kept her and protected her, and to tell her story afterwards that literally changed millions of lives for Christ. That's how much God protects His destiny for you. And she said it best. She said, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." Now, that's not a Hallmark card saying. That's survival faith. Because when your identity is rooted in Christ, no storm, no failure, no rejection, no doctor's reports, no things that come to hinder you can uproot you. Because seasons will change, but your source will never change. Because Christ is your identity. And if He's your identity, then your future is locked down. My last point for you guys is this. Trust in God for the next step, even when the path isn't clear. Wisdom of God is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And that just simply says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Maybe you guys remember that from Josh and Nikki in the youth and those Bible lessons, or I don't know if you remember way back when in King's Kids when we did those verses, but let's be honest, we're like maps. Would you agree, church? We're like maps that we want the whole route laid out before us to know what's going on. Everything. Before we take a single step, God, show me the way first. But God's more often like a flashlight, shining our way, and He gives us just enough light for the next step. Aiden, some of the days ahead is going to look a little foggy, and you may not know if you're on the right path or not. But here's what matters. You don't need to see the whole trail. You just need to trust the one who's leading you. Church, the same way. We may not see what God has before us, but we just need to trust in the one who's leading. And I know many of you are going through things. Many of you are about to encounter things in your life, marriage, and things that lie ahead of you. You don't see what lies ahead, but when you trust the one who's leading, things will work out. Ainsley, I know things not going to make sense, everything in life. Doors are going to be expected that open for you, and some is going to slam in your face, and you're thinking, what? Plans may happen to fall apart, but just trust God with the steps you take, and He'll get you where you need to be. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., a preacher's son who saw injustice, he stepped out into the unknown. He didn't know what's going to be out there. He didn't know every outcome. He faced threats, violence, and jail, but he trusted God, and that faith that he had moved mountains and affected so many people. Because here's what happens, church graduates. God often gives direction through obedience. Not clarity, through obedience. So take that step and walk in faith. Every step with him is the right step. Aiden, Ainsley, you guys weren't made for comfort. I know you think school's over now. It's like, I get to be lazy for the next 3 or 4 months. You weren't made for comfort. You were made for seasons to come in your life. And we all have resting times in between that, and Lord knows we need them. I mean, it may feel like you're leaving school behind, but really you're going to begin to step in your purpose. Every challenge, every lesson that God gives us, every tear and triumph is a preparation for what he has ahead. Because his story isn't random. It's not luck. It's destiny. It's God's destiny for your life. God has been writing chapters in your lives and all of our lives that we haven't even read yet. He's opening up doors right now that we can't even see or know that's opening up right now. And no matter what hits you, no matter what comes your way, you're not walking alone. Why? Because the author of time walks with you. Because there's endless seasons ahead. Seasons to grow, seasons to stretch, to celebrate, and yes, church, sometimes even to wait. But through it all, God stays the same. So step out boldly, guys. Dream without limits and trust everything you've got, because the best is still to come. I could tell you that from personal experience. The best is yet to come. God's word for you is that he is the God of the new. Do you think I was expecting a new job after 29 years being in one place, comfortable as a bug in a rug? God has something new for our lives, and when you see him moving forward, it's time for you to move too. Old ways of doing things won't cut it. They won't work. Because they just won't work in this new season of your life. Because what he's doing is passing out fresh blueprints to you, to each one of us. Because there's a fresh new fragrance in the air. The Holy Spirit. So step out into your new territory. You've never been down the road before, but God has. Church, there's roads we've never been down before and that we're facing. We may be at a crossroads and we may be a little anxious, but God's been down that road. He's gone before you. He has it all mapped out. All mapped out. He's prepared the way for you, and he will walk beside you. He has a plan for you, and it's more beautiful than your loftiest imagination can conceive in our finite little minds. His voice in your heart will lead you forward into beautiful and more spacious horizons ahead of you. He's equipped you. You may think you don't have what it takes, but he has equipped you, and he is launching you into a greater realm of his glory to know and to be known by him. And knowing him in your heart will be your greatest peace and your greatest hope to move forward. For in that place, you're going to encounter God's heart and be kept safe. So don't be afraid to try new things, new endeavors, and perhaps to leave things behind that have run their full course. Because his holy anointing is moving from what once was to what it is ready to be. As we close, let's just take a breath, slow down, and just ask God to bless us through those endless seasons ahead. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for every step of the way Aiden and Ainsley have taken to get here, and for the ones still yet to come. Thank you for the lessons. Thank you for the tough stuff and the victories that help shape them as well as us as a church along the way. And so as we move forward and lead the way, give us that wisdom and strengthen our faith when the path gets foggy. And when those questions come, Father, bring peace to our hearts and our lives. So we ask that you would root us deep in your love and to help us to stand firm no matter what the reason or the season, and to help us to walk humbly with you. Bless the plans ahead, the ones you've already seen, plans to give a hope and a future. Use every season that we are in right now to shape us and to build something eternal for us, Father. And today we say it out loud that the best is yet to come for all of us, and especially for Aiden and Ainsley. May our light shine bright in this world, pushing back and pointing things to your goodness and grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, Amen.